time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country. Waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world. Welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
Michael Twitty, son of the late great country legend Conway Twitty, joins me on the show today. Michael is here to share some stories from his own music career, as well as a couple of his songs. He'll also spend some time chatting with us about his father, and I'll play two Conway classics. It's my pleasure to welcome to In the Country, Michael Twitty. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Dave. Hello from Nashville. How are you, sir?
Hey, I am doing terrific. How are things with you in Nashville tonight?
Fantastic. The weather is beautiful. We've had some storms move through here. It's a little rough last couple of days, but today is gorgeous.
That is good to hear. Now, I understand you. Have you been in Canada recently doing some tours, or is that upcoming?
Well, both. Really, well, not recently. We've just been a few months back, but we were up there for quite a while, and we're coming back, leaving next month in May. We'll be up there from May the 23rd through June the 2nd.
Terrific, and our listeners can head to michaeltwitty.com. You've got a great website there with tour dates, so our listeners can check that out for upcoming dates.
Absolutely, Dave, right. We'll be starting out in Saskatchewan and then winding up in Ontario.
Very cool. Well, we're going to cover a lot on the show. We've got a couple of your songs to play and some of your dad's classics as well and great stories to share as well. Michael, can you take us back to maybe your earliest memories of music and at what point in your life you realized music was the road you were going to follow down?
Well, my first memory of being on stage with Dad when I was 8 years old, he called me up on stage to sing with him, and I sang Folsom Prison Blues, his first song I ever sang on stage, which is kind of strange, an eight-year-old boy singing a song like Folsom Prison, you know. But it was one of the first ones I learned to play on guitar, so I guess that's the reason I chose it. But music was something I did kind of a hobby, really. I never even dreamed about doing it for a living. I always loved it. I enjoyed, you know, I had my own little bands on the weekend when I was a teenager and stuff like that, and even after I got out of school, I still had my bands. I played on weekends all around the local fairs and festivals and, you know, nightclubs in some cases and such as that. But I never really thought until I was about 19 years old and I was doing a show in Memphis, Tennessee, and this booking agent from Nashville, Tennessee, unbeknownst to me, was out in the crowd listening to my show and afterwards came up to me and had a sit down talk with me and told me he thought I was plenty good enough to do it for a living as a professional. And that's the first time I'd ever thought about doing it as a profession. And, of course, I took about 3 months and thought about it and talked to a lot of different people, especially my dad. And after giving it a lot of thought, decided to move to Nashville. And that's what I did. I moved to Nashville in October 1972, and I've been living here ever since.
Wow. And were your styles similar to how your dad went from starting off in kind of the rock world and then moving to country? Did you have both of those styles going at the same time?
Yeah, I did. Actually, my first band was a hard rock band called the Frozen Heat, is what I called them back in the late 60s. And we did a lot of stuff like Grand Funk Railroad, Steppenwolf, Creedence Clearwater Revival, stuff like that, you know, plus some of our own music. But after doing that, of course, the kids liked it. You know, here again, everybody around my age liked it. But as I got a little older, I got tired of that and decided I wanted to sing country music. And that's when I moved to Nashville in 1972. That's when I started playing country full time, and I've been doing that ever since. Of course, in my country shows, especially back in the 70s, I would still throw in a lot of old rock and roll, and I still do sometimes today. Every now and then, I'll throw a 60s rock and roll, you know, like some old Beatles or some old Jerry Lee Lewis or stuff like that.
Yeah,
because I really still love that kind of rock and roll music.
And there's a lot of that stuff that does fit into country, and your dad did stuff like that. The song It's Only Make Believe crossed over, and it's got both aspects to it.
Absolutely. In fact, it was number one in 1958. It was number one in country music as well as rock and roll music. So it crossed over back then and made it number one, which was kind of an unusual thing back then. But, yeah, a lot of fans, a lot of places we go, they still love a lot of the old 50s and 60s rock and roll stuff, which I'm glad to do it for them because I love it too.
Now, as you mentioned with Folsom Prison Blues and so many classic country songs where the singer in it is singing about something that somebody's had to live a lot of life in order to appreciate, I guess. So now there are, of course, younger people into country music, but to really appreciate some of the deeper songs, I guess you got to have lived a bit, don't you?
Well, that's you know, one of the first things my dad told me when I moved to Nashville in 1972, that because I was only 19 years old, he said, it's going to take a while before country music fans accept you as a country singer because you just haven't lived long enough to really know what you're singing about, you know, to them. And I said, okay, I understand, and I did. I mean, I paid my dues and all that stuff, and it took me a while. But then all of a sudden, I got to a point where all of a sudden I was too old for Nashville. They were looking for 30-year-old and under singers. Now I said, "What happened to you?" Somewhere I got caught in the middle there. Nowadays, I mean, they got, you know, 13, 14-year-olds coming out, and it's amazing how the business has changed from a focus on you've got to be older so you understand what you're singing about, to now you've got to be younger to appeal to the young crowd. So. You know, I don't know. Some of them I like out of today, and some of them I don't. It's just what has happened today, I guess, is for overall good for country music. But I personally still like the old traditional country, your George Jones and Merle Haggards and Conway Twitties.
Yeah, that definitely. There's such a great focus on songs with those artists, and I mean today as well. But I mean, just such classic songs written so well, delivered so well, and your dad sure had his fair share of classic songs, and later on we'll touch on those, and I'll see if you can and tell a couple of stories about some of those songs. What about some of your favorite songs, Michael, to cover, whether they're your father's or anyone else's? Which ones do you enjoy putting your own spin on?
Oh, I have a lot of favorites. I've done so many music. And, you know, I quit. I used to write down how many songs I knew. And after I got over 800, I just quit keeping up with it. I got so many of them in my head. I've always been an Elvis Presley fan. I mean, he was one of the few that I put there on the same level as my dad. I love to do any Elvis stuff. I love Ronnie Millsap, another guy that I put right up there in the same, you know, mention as my father. People like that, I really enjoy doing their tunes. Like I said a while ago, I love to do any 60s rock and roll, even some of the old Beatles. I saw her standing there, stuff like that. I love to do that. Chris, Clearwater Revival. My wife's favorite song she loves to hear me do is an old tune came out about 1963 by the Righteous Brothers called Unchained Melody. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was brought back and was a big hit again after the movie Ghost. But that's, of all the songs I do on stage, that's her very favorite of the one I do. So I guess that would be one of the ones as far as putting my own spin on it, because she claims I do it. Even Dad had it on the album. She said I do it even better than him, and that's a pretty big compliment to me.
Wow. Wow, that is great. What about duet partners? Now, your dad, of course, famously duetted with Loretta Lynn, and they had some great songs, Louisiana Woman, Mississippi Man. What about over the years? Have you had a chance to do some duets, and what about dream duets? Who would you really like to sing with?
Oh, well, I, of course, any time to be on the stage with Mama Loretta, as I've always called her, is a pleasure and an honor. I've done several shows with her daughter, Sissy Lynn. She and I have done some things together. My sister, Joni, was in the business briefly back in the 70s, who had the hit record with Dad, Don't Cry, Joni. Remember that one, Dave?
Yeah, oh, for sure, yep.
The Don't Cry, Joni, yeah, that was my sister, Joni. And we used to do fairs and festivals back in the 70s, but she only stayed in the business a few years and got out of it. She had never went back in it since. So that was a lot of fun doing shows with her. People really ate that up. They thought that was neat, you know. But I don't know. I've done a lot of different duets. There's a lady, a woman lives right up here in Kentucky. Her name is Emily Portman. And outside of the original Loretta, of course, she's a lot younger than Loretta, but she does the most fabulous Loretta Lynn. I won't say impersonation because she don't even act like she's in. It's just so natural to her. Of course, she's from Kentucky too, just like Loretta was. It's always a pleasure working with Emily. We've done shows out in Las Vegas and Laughlin, Nevada, and that kind of stuff. She's just that good. When I looked around for a while, I did a show called Twitty and Lynn Together Again, and I looked around to find me a Loretta, and she's the one nationwide. I mean, she was the best one by far I ever found, and it just turned out she was just right up the road here, about maybe 100 miles north of Nashville up in Kentucky. So she's always been a pleasure to work with. But I've had a lot of them. Of course, still today, I guess if I had to name a favorite, anytime I'm on stage with Mama Loretta, as I call her, would be the biggest thrill for me.
That's great, and I've seen her recently on an award show, and she's still going strong, still sounding great, and one of those legends. Now, another one that your father was close with and was in the same, I guess, league, if you want to call it that, the great George Jones. Do you have any stories on the old possum?
Old George. I tell you what, anytime you ask Conway Twitty, you know, who is your favorite country singer, and he'd tell you right in a minute, George Jones. You know, I remember one time we were doing a show down in Louisiana, and I was actually shaving on Dad's bus, and I felt something, boom, 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 like somebody fell on the bus. And I looked down the hallway of the bus, and sure enough, there was George up and done on the front of the bus, done tripped and fell up the stairs. However you fall up the stairs, that's what he'd done. And it was so funny because he was supposed, that very day in Texas, where he's from, they were having George Jones Day. Him and Tammy were married, and Tammy was in Texas at his hometown waiting on him, and here he was in Louisiana at a Conway Twitty show. So that was funny because George was just that way when he took a notion he wanted to be somewhere, and he just, that's what he did. And, you know, he wouldn't leave there that day till Dad personally got a little private plane and flew him back to his hometown. That's just how close buddies they were. George had his mind made up. He was going to Conway Twitty show. He didn't care if it was George Jones Day in his hometown. I was just young, man. I thought that was so funny. You know, that's when I really first got to know how wild and crazy old George is. But I love him.
Yeah, I mean, George Jones and your father, just such great classic country singers. And between the two of them, I mean, hits that go on endlessly. A lot of people say when they rank the top country songs of all time, He Stopped Loving Her Today usually ends up there. Where do you weigh in on that, Michael? Do you have a song that you think epitomizes country music and belongs right up there?
Well, of course, my favorite would be Hello Darling. You know?
There you go.
that song right there is one of those that, yeah. I mean, those two words you can say anywhere to any woman anywhere, and they still love it. They still eat it up. I mean, sometimes I'll say it without even thinking. You know, when I meet a lady, I'll say, Hello Darling, and they just, oh, God, I love, you know. So I definitely will put that one up there in the top five easily.
Definitely.
I mean, He Stopped Loving Her Today was a great country song. The funny thing, George didn't like that song. He refused to record it for a while. He thought it was morbid.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I heard that. And was there a bet or something? Someone bet him that it would go to number one?
Well, his wife, Nancy, really liked it. And they kept after him, you know. And finally he said, well, all right, I'll record it, but put it on an album. But it ain't going to be a single. Well, make a long story short, he loves it now.
Yeah, exactly.
It sold a ton, and well, here not long ago there was a thing on TV that is a countdown. I believe it was Billboard magazine or whoever put it on, CMT and stuff like that, and they counted down to top 100 country songs, and that was the number one.
Yeah,
number one country song.
It definitely.
So I would say, you know,
captures,
but I'm still sticking with Hello Darling myself.
There you go. We'll note you on that one, and it definitely belongs up there, too. We're actually going to share that song a bit later in the show. But, Michael, right now, let's share one of your songs. This is a great great country song called I Picked a San Antonio Rose. Can you tell us a bit of the story about the song?
Well, this song comes off my latest album called Debbie Don't Do Dallas Anymore, and which that song was written by Royce Porter, one of Nashville's finest songwriters. Royce co-wrote a lot of big hit records for George Strait. What's Going On in Your World, Oceanfront Property. He wrote Miami, Miami for the late, great Keith Whitley, just a great songwriter. And I happened to be with him when he wrote that Debbie Don't Dallas Anymore song, and that's the name of the album. I picked the San Antonio Rose. The reason I wanted you to kind of pick this one out, because it's been getting a lot of airplay all over Europe and even starting now in the United States, so I'm thinking maybe, I'm hoping, might have a hit on it, so I want to know what the folks up in Canada think about it. It's one of my favorite on the whole album. I picked the San Antonio Rose.
Well, let's share that now. This is Michael Twitty on In the Country.
I picked a sweet peach down in Georgia. She was ripe and luscious at the time. I liked her quite a lot, but I didn't love her. So I left her in a Texas state of mind. She was the best, heaven knows, till I picked the San Antonio Rose. some pretty lady, but Texas has the one I dream about. She was all a man could ever want to hold, till I picked a San Antonio road. I picked some wildwood flowers in my time, caught some poison ivy off the vine. But if you want the best, you get it where it grows. I picked a San Antonio rose. Across the country and sang about all the loves I've known. It's hard for me to live outside of Texas when my heart is still in San Antonio. But my heart won't travel any other road since I picked a San Antonio road. Some wildwood flowers in my time, caught some poison ivy off the vine. But if you want the best, you get it where it grows. I picked a San Antonio rose.
Country artist Michael Twitty and I picked a San Antonio Rose here on In the Country. And great song, Michael. Well written, and the vocals on it, just terrific.
Well, thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. I'm proud of it. And like I say, it has really caught on in Europe and starting to get some a lot of airplay in the United States and Canada. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we wish you all the best with that. And that's from the album Debbie Don't Do Dallas Anymore. Our listeners, I understand, can order the CD from michaeltwitty.com?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep, sure can.
Very good. Now, we talked about moving songs a bit earlier with He Stopped Loving Her Today and Hello, Darling. Songs that really pull at the heart. What about when you're singing? What song, Michael, moves you the most when you're on stage performing and maybe almost brings a tear to your eye, or maybe it does?
Well, this day and time, you know, our show we're doing is Memories of Conway that we've been doing across the United States and of course, Canada, and getting ready to take it back to Canada. And it includes a lot of my dad's songs and also stories about his life. My son, Trey, is part of the show, travels with me. But when I'm doing that show, Dave, without a doubt, that's my job, is one that chokes me up still. Because it's a song that, well, it just in itself, I mean, it's a very... very emotional song, you know, when you think about it, it talks about a relationship, of, you know, between a father and a son. And
yeah.
And it was also a song that brought me and my father a lot closer. When Dad had a big number one record on it, before he ever released it, he played it for me. And we wound up sitting and talking for about 5 hours about things that really matter in the world, like the love of a father for a son, a daughter, sister, brother, stuff like that. So and Dad always told me he'd always be there no matter what happened. He'd never be far away from me and all that. So a lot of times now when I do that song on stage, I still get choked up.
That is one of my favorites. I recall when it came out at the time, and it's just so well written, and as you said, a father and a son song, and it's so meaningful, and the son in it dreams that his father passes away and wonders how he'll get along, and
right, and
there's a great line in it, something about I make my living turning, I can't remember, turning words into poetry, something
like
that.
I make my living with words and rhymes.
Yeah.
And all this tragedy should go into my head and out instead as bits of poetry.
Oh, beautiful.
Hey, bring
a
tear to a glass
a
eye. You hear that?
Yeah,
bring a tear to a glass eye.
Yeah.
Now,
that's,
it's a great,
oh, yeah,
one of my, definitely one of my top 10 favorite songs ever. It is a tearjerker. I mean, it's one that, I mean, even in the crowds that we do it to, you'll see people out there with just, you know, getting all teared up and everything. It's great, great song.
And it's so great about country music and your father's music specifically that so many people, when they listen to his songs, it either takes them back to a time or place, or it stirs up some kind of emotion, but it connects with them in some way. It makes a real human connection.
That's true. Dad, you know, Dad always said it's the singer that makes it's the song that makes the singer. You got to have a great song, son. It's a lot of great singers out there, but very few great songs. And he had a golden ear when it came to picking a song. I mean, he would listen just to get a 10-song album. He would listen to like 3,000 to 4,000 songs, you know,
wow,
going through just to get down to 10. And so those 10 that he come up with were really, really good songs. And that's a big reason why he had 55 number one records, because he had such a great golden ear, so to speak, on picking a song. And of course, his career lasted from 1956 till we lost him so suddenly in 1993. That's 5 decades of number one records. Think of how music changed, Dave, from the 1950s to the 1990s.
Oh, yeah.
And Conway Twitty had number one records in every one of them. So
yeah,
he knew how to change right along with it. When the music changed, he just changed right along with it.
That's so true. He changed with the times, and his sound overall, his voice, of course, stayed the same, but the sound of his records adapted to the times. I remember in 1984, the song, Somebody's Needin' Somebody, hearing that on the radio, and of course, I love Conway's classics, but that song really just, I don't know, something about it really appealed to me. It's just a great song, and the album, I believe, was called By Heart, and one of the songs was called By Heart, another beautiful
right
song. It wasn't a single, but just a great song.
Yes, it was. That's what's so great about Dad's albums. You could go listen. You know, so many, a lot of the artists, I bought an album, and you listen to the hit, and there might be one or two hits, and the rest of them just call what they call filler songs. But a Conway
right
Twitty album, every song in it, there wasn't a weak song on any one of them. In fact, a lot of them you find yourself saying, wow, why wasn't that a hit single? You know, like that.
So
I like
true
that song By Heart, like you were talking about, Dave. That's one of my favorites,
yeah,
too. I mean, I think that song could have been a hit single, but all of his albums are that way because he just had a golden ear when it come picking a song.
One of the songs later on, too, it might have been the late 80s. I know it was later on in his career. Another one of my favorites, his called Crazy in Love, a beautiful song about a relationship, and he's wanting to stir it up again and, you know, get back to when they were crazy in love. Great, great song.
That was number 55. That was his very last number one record, Crazy in Love. That was number 55.
Beautiful.
That was, and his wife, Dee, who he was married to the last 6 years of his life, that was her very favorite song he ever did. That was her very favorite, Crazy in Love. And you're right.
Wow.
And one, Dad only did 2 videos in his career, and that song was one of them, Crazy in Love.
I think it was written by Kim Carnes.
Yes, a very good song. And Dad did a great job, of course, like he did on all of them. But yeah, it's
for sure.
There's no doubt if we hadn't lost him so suddenly in 1993, he'd have had a lot more than 55 done. Rick, it would have kept counting.
Oh, definitely. Turning back to you for a second, Michael, as we go through the show here, you performed on a lot of stages, of course, and up here in Canada. Can you talk about some of the favorite stages and events you've performed at?
Oh, well, I've been at so many of them in my almost 40 years in this business, ever since 1972, so I guess this year will be 39 years. But I've done shows in every state in the Union, in the United States, all across Canada, every province. I've been to Mexico, been to Japan, all over Europe. It's hard to pick on all those. In Japan, on the island of Okinawa, and our bases over our military bases, I mean, to see those guys, how unbelievably fired up they get, because they are so starved for music from home, you know. I mean,
yeah,
you don't hear much country music out in Okinawa, Japan. And when I went over there and spent 2 weeks for those guys, and then they were just so, you're talking about an appreciative crowd, man. They just eat up anything you do, because it's you know, it's just a letter from home, so to speak, a musical letter from home. So that was a blast. I had a great time there. Of course, any time I was ever on stage with my daddy anywhere, that was an honor and a thrill, something I miss dearly. Nowadays, like I said, not too long ago, I did a show opening for George Jones. I opened for Ronnie Millsap, one of my heroes. Was fantastic. Anytime I get to be around Loretta, you know, being around people that I really love and admire and enjoy, it don't matter what the stage is or where the stage is, that would be the main thing, who I'm with, that's really a highlight for me.
That's great. There's so many great people in country music, and you obviously got to know and become friends with many of the legends. That must have been pretty neat to be able to do that.
Right, and the downside is, because we travel so much, we don't get to see each other. About the only time we really get to visit and see each other is when we do shows together. So we make the best of it, you know, as when we can. And also, too, like I say, anytime we play for the troops anywhere, they're such an appreciative, just a special bunch, because most of them, like I say, God bless them, they're just starved for for a musical letter from home, and that's what I try to give them. You know, not only the music, yeah. but the jokes, everything, and they just eat it up. So that's very special too. Anytime I do any shows for the troops, which I try to do every chance I can.
That's terrific, and I bet it must be great to hear from people after a show when they sort of maybe share with you personal stories about what the music means to them, one of their favorite songs that you sang, and you can make a connection with them.
Oh, absolutely. I enjoy hearing their Conway Twitty stories. And, cause, you know, Dad being in the business for as long as he was and traveling all over, there's a lot of people that have a lot of special stories about him in their life, you know, what certain songs meant or certain concerts they went to, places they got to see, or some of them had things they got to do with him, and just thought, I never get tired of hearing those, you know. So we kind of share, we kind of give stories to each other at my shows. And, of course, I can't remember the last time we didn't get a standing ovation, and I'm not ringing my own bell here. That's just how much people get into, still love Conway Twitty music out there, and the way
yeah.
that me and my son and my band do it. And that makes us feel fantastic, because that's the number one thing that the crowd can do for us, get on their feet. And they do that every show we do, and it really tears me. I love it. It makes me know that my father is still strong in their hearts, you know, and they love the job that I'm doing, sharing Conway Twitty memories with them.
Yeah, and your father's music will go on forever, and so many people, as you say, love it. And I know here in Canada, I mean, we just love Conway Twitty, and it's so great for you to be able to keep that music going, and we can see it performed live.
Absolutely. You know, he wrote It's Only Make Believe in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
You know, it's funny, I was reading about that earlier online, and I was going to ask you about that. I came across it, him and his drummer, Jack Nance, at the Flamingo Lounge.
Right, yeah. Dad used to work
yeah.
a lot in Canada, you know, and then he just happened to be up there, and that's where he wrote. He knew when he wrote that song. I know this song's a hit. This is a great song. If this song don't make it,
yeah.
then something's bad wrong. You know? Yeah, it was in Hamilton.
It is. That's a great Canadian connection. So he got up here quite a bit, didn't he, touring?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, in fact, the only platinum album, he had a lot of gold album, but the only platinum album he ever had in his career was a live album he did in Canada. Conway Twitty in concert, and it went platinum. And so yes, Canada is full of Conway Twitty fans. Always has been, and still is today. That's why we're working so much up there. Look forward to it.
Yeah, that's terrific. Well, let's turn back to another of your songs, Michael. And this is another one of those heart touching songs. You're the Best I Never Had. Can you tell us a bit about the song, Michael, and then we'll share it.
Yeah, this song was written by my cousin, Larry Jenkins, my dad's brother's oldest son. And Larry is one of Nashville's finest songwriters. And he wrote a song called Somebody Lied for Ricky Van Shelton. It was number one record
oh,
for
yeah.
Ricky Van Shelton. I'm sure a lot of people remember that song. But he wrote this one. Dad had a album cut on it, put it on one of his albums, but he never released it as a single. But I had a recording deal, and I liked it enough. I actually cut a video on this song. And the video, come on CMT, is on a smaller label. But CMT put it in their light rotation, but on its own merit, by people calling and writing in wanting to see it, it worked its way up to heavy rotation on country music television, CMT. So that shows you how
nice.
Popular the song and the video was. So it's one of my favorites, too. It's a good song.
It is, for sure. We'll share it now. This is Michael Twitty, and You're the Best I Never Had here on In the Country.
In faded jeans, I was yours and you were mine. Close enough to call it love, but we never crossed the line. After knowing you, love's been nothing new. I've had it good and I've had it bad. But after all these years, you still bring the tears. You're the best I never had. A perfect start for virgin hearts, but it ended all so fast. Old enough to have been the first, but too young to make it last. I never let it show. Oh, I should have let you know. I never wanted someone so bad. Looking back, I've learned with every bridge I've burned, you're the best I never had. The flame is gone, but the fire burns on. Sometimes sweet, sometimes sad. Girl, you'll always be a haunting mystery. You're the best I've never had. And after all these years, you still bring the tears. You're the best I've never had. The best I never had.
Michael Twitty, you're the best I never had here on In the Country. And Michael joins me on the line from Nashville. What album does that one appear on, Michael?
That's on the same album, the Debbie Don't Dallas Anymore album.
Excellent. And MichaelTwitty.com is the website to go and get that album from, to purchase it. Yeah, it's another one of those great songs, well written, and it just sounds like a standard.
Well, I hope it is. I mean, it's a great song. Even Dad, like I said, Dad put it on an album, and he wouldn't cut a song that was a bad song. And he said it was a great song. It just wasn't at the time, the timing just wasn't right for him. Then it was strong enough to be a single for him, he told me. So I knew I was right. I knew it was a strong enough song. It wasn't just because my cousin wrote it. But it is. It's one of my favorite things I've ever done.
No, it's really well written. And that's the whole thing with choosing singles. And that's why a lot of times, I mean, there's still great songs and albums because you can only put out so many singles. That's a pretty big decision in itself, isn't it, choosing a single?
Oh, absolutely. You got to kind of have your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the world and what the trends are and up-tempo versus a ballad. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. You don't just close your eyes and put your finger down and point to one. And a lot more goes into it than that. You know, it's a lot of – but even after you do all that and you do put them out there, it's still a roll of the dice. I mean, it's still a lot of things have to happen at one time for to have a hit record, that's for sure.
Do you ever recall if your dad passed on any songs that later went on to be hits for somebody else and they were kind of hits that got away from him, or did that not happen too much?
No, it never, because he was such a good at picking a song. If a song was really a great song, he knew it. He had that golden ear again. I never heard a story about him passing on a song. There was a few songs that he wanted but he didn't do, because another artist already spoke up for it, and he wouldn't, you know, he was a gentleman. He wouldn't stab anybody in the back or what they call cover them on it. He wouldn't cover a song. He would make sure it would not hurt any other artist before he would do it. Now, there were several stories, songs like that, but as far as him passing on one, then it turned out to be a hit. He had too good of an ear for that. He had a golden ear. It just didn't happen. If a song was a hit, he heard it, it was available, he recorded it.
That's terrific. I wanted to talk about some of his songs, in fact, and maybe get your thoughts on them or any stories behind them. Of course, the classic Linda on My Mind, one of his earlier hits. What are your feelings on that song? And do you perform that, I gather, in your shows?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's part of our Members of Conway show. Yeah, I was on the bus when Dad wrote that back in 1974. A lot of people don't realize Dad wrote a lot of the songs that he hit number one records. You know, he had 55 number one records, and over a third of those he wrote himself, and Linda was one of them. And it was one of the ones that had to be on the bus when he wrote it, and he didn't think it was that great a song. He thought it was good, but he didn't think it was a great song. And at the time, I was recording for Capitol Records, and I told him, well, I'll tell you what, Dad, if you'll let me have it, if you don't think it's good, I think it's great. And our next truck stop we stop at, of course, back then there was no such thing as cell phones. Hit the next truck stop, and I'll call my producer, and I'll make that my next single. Well, he hauled around, you know, for about 3 months and couldn't make up his mind whether he was going to record it or whether I could have it. And, of course, I kept asking him about it again and again. And finally, after about 3 months, he called me up and said, remember that song that I wrote on the bus you love so much, that Linda song? And I said, yes, sir, I sure do. Can I have it? And he said, nope, it's going to be my next single. I said, well, I guarantee you, Dad, it's going to be a huge record for you. I mean, I think it's going to be a huge. He still didn't know. He said, I think it's a good song, but I don't know if it's one of them really big ones. And, boy, it took off, and it was a monster. And he said, well, son, you was right about that one. That's, and it was. It was one of his biggest ones, you know.
It's a great song. I guess that's the thing, too. You can know that you've written a good song and a great song, but to know if it's going to be have that little extra magic to become, like a Linda on My Mind, a classic, I guess that part is always a little hard to tell.
Yeah, absolutely. Or you could write one of those songs like you've never been this far before and know it's a little bit risque, but still know it's a great country song and women are going to love it. That's what Dad said. Women saved that song for me. I knew they'd know I wasn't talking about nothing dirty. And it, of course, it was a huge record for him. I Love to Lay You Down. There's another one. Huge record.
Yep.
Some radio stations said, oh, we can't play that. That's too dirty. Of course, the more they tried to ban it, the bigger it got. And Dad just always trusted the women because he always chose songs or wrote songs with women in mind. I'll never cut a song that puts a woman down or makes her look bad or makes her feel bad. I always choose a song the lady's going to like. Pretty smart man.
Definitely. He could put such emotion into his voice. And there's one of the performances from an award show I've seen recently on YouTube, and I sure remember it from the time of It's Goodbye Time. And he just puts so much into that. It's just pure raw emotion.
Absolutely. I mean, every ounce of heart. I've told him several times over the years, you know, Dad, if I never even knew you, I mean, forget about being your son. If I've never even met you, I would buy Conway Twitty Records because of the pure heart and emotion that you put into your music. I mean, there's just every ounce of soul and heart that you've got goes into your music, and I love that, you know. So I would be a huge fan of yours and buying your music if I never even met you. And I think, and Dad, so that's one of the big best compliments I ever had, you know.
Yeah, that is terrific.
From the heart.
Yep. Another one of his, I think it was from the same album, Somebody's Needing Somebody, with that song was on. I Don't Know a Thing About Love, also known as the Moon Song, Man in the Moon song.
That was written by Harlan Howard, one of Nashville's finest songwriters. Harlan Howard.
Yeah.
He's the one that helped Dad make the transition from rock and roll to country music. Because back in the 60s, that was kind of a no-no, you know, for a rock and roll singer to try to sing country. I mean, nowadays everybody does it, but back then it was a big no-no. And Harlan, being a great songwriter, country songwriter, kind of took Dad around town and kind of helped him get his toe in the door, so to speak, where people would listen to him because he was a rock and roller and he wasn't supposed to be in Nashville, Tennessee, trying to sing country, or so they thought back then. So Harlan's one of the ones that helped him really, really help Dad make the transition, you know, to get his foot in the door, so to speak. But Dad said, I've heard a ton of songs written about the moon, but of all of them I've ever heard, that's the best one I've ever heard. And, of course, his close friend Harlan Howard wrote it, and you're right, that's a good one.
Yeah, great lyrics in it. I Don't Know a Thing About Love. I Just Kind of Hang Here Above.
Right.
I just watch from the sky. Will it grow? Will it die?
In all matters human, remember there's someone in charge of those things way above you and I.
Yeah.
I'm just the moon. I see stuff. I don't have nothing to do with that. That's up to the big man, you know, the big boss.
That's right.
The Lord.
Such a brilliantly written song and catchy as well, and it just had everything going for it. Another song that was very heartfelt and very moving was The Clown from your father.
Right. Mm-hmm. That was another one. The list just goes on and on, don't it? I remember
it
one
does.
Time my lead guitar player sat down, we was going to put a medley together, pick some, because you cannot do, you know, they had 55 number one records. I cannot do that, even come close to it in a show. You don't have time. So we thought we'd put a medley together. But before we knew it, the darn medley was 2 hours long. We could, just had so many great songs. I mean,
yeah.
And you say, well, I can't leave that one out. Oh, you can't leave this one out. And just went on. And after a while, we just gave up. Our show runs about an hour and a half to some cases 2 hours long. And it's just full of nothing but Conway Twitty number one smash songs. And that's one of them you just mentioned, The Clown there. Do that one.
Yeah. So, yeah, that must have been tough when he was doing shows to decide when he had those many hits which ones to put in and which ones to leave out because, in his case, I mean, he would leave out so many hits because there's only so much time you can do a show.
Yeah, well, he would say, I heard Dad say several times, say, you know, songs are like people. Some of them live longer than others. So I just got to know when to take a certain song out and replace it with a certain one. You know, there's some songs that just never will die, go on forever. You know, like you're Only Make Believe, Hello Darling, Linda on My Mind, Never Been This Far Before. Those songs, you can never take those out because they just people. I mean, they're just automatic. You know, tight fitting jeans. There's one. Everybody, everywhere you go, people. You know, when they hear that. A song that got huge for Dad that really surprised him was The Rose, his version of The Rose.
That became
a signature song for him.
So
he had so many of those that were, he really didn't have much room to put to put other songs in there that because he had so many so-called standards that would live forever. Putting a show together for Conway Twitty. I guess it's a good problem to have when you can have 55 number one records, to choose from, and so many of them are standards.
It's
a good problem to have.
That's amazing. I mean, there's songs that we can hear again and again, Hello, Darling, Tight Fitting Jeans, as you mentioned. We're actually going to share those songs in a few moments. But songs that you want to hear again and again, and you never grow tired of.
Absolutely. And Dad just was—he was so he always said a hit song is a hit song too. He didn't care if it was because when he did The Rose, they said, "Are you crazy? That's a pop record." When he did Slow Hand, remember the old Pointer Sisters rocking? They said, "Conway, have you lost your mind? That's a pop song." Dad said, "It won't." He said, "It won't be when I get through with it. It's going to be a country song, and it's going to be a big record." And it was. He knew what he was talking about. He put that Conway Twitty country flavor because he said it's a really good, well written song, and a good song is a good song. And then, of course, you put
and
that
he did a great
Twitty
cover
emotion
of,
to it.
Yeah, he did a great cover of Rainy Night in Georgia along with Sam Cooke. That was a beautiful version of it.
That's right, Dave. That was the very last thing he ever recorded just a few weeks before we lost him. Him and Sam Moore, Rainy Night in Georgia. What a great version of that, which they had a video on also. I guess you saw that, didn't you, Dave?
Yeah, I think it's the two of them performing in the studio.
And they really had a great time. You could tell it on the video, couldn't you?
Definitely.
Dad had that big smile. He had a smile that would light up a room anyway, and he was smiling through so much of that video. Really, it does my heart still good today. I've got it sometimes I put on the watch to see that beautiful smile again.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, it's great to be able to for you to be able to look at those videos, isn't it? To have so much recorded stuff to relive.
Oh, absolutely. I've got a whole collection of Dad's stuff here of live shows and stuff that was done, maybe not professionally, interviews, just anything I can get my hands on. I've built up my own collection of it. I love to put it on. Sometimes when I got company, I'll show it. Sometimes I'll sit around and watch it myself.
Oh, that's great. Let's share one of the songs we talked about a few moments ago, Michael, and it's Tight Fitting Jeans, which is just a terrific song. Kind of you can sing along to it. Dance along to it, clap along to it. It's just got that kind of beat. What are your stories on this song?
Well, I happen to be on the road. Every time I do like a six-week tour with Dad, and I happen to be with him when he was thinking about recording this song. And he said he was going to do this one just for the guys, but he wasn't going to do it unless he had the ladies' approval first. So what he would do was in somewhere around the middle of his show, Dad didn't talk a whole lot, but he would stop the show and he would talk to the ladies. He said, "I'm thinking about recording this song, but I want to know if you ladies like it, because if the ladies out there don't like it, I'm doing it for the guys, but only with if you ladies like it." So he would do the song then, and long story short, the ladies loved it. After a few weeks of trying it out on the ladies, he went back to Nashville and recorded it. And this is one that he always said, "I did this just for the guys, but only with the ladies' approval first." Pretty smart man, I think. And sure enough, it was a huge hit record for him. We still get tons of requests for it everywhere we go now.
This is Conway Twitty and Tight Fitting Jeans here on In the Country.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, one more time for my boy, Mr. Trey Twitty. Yeah.
She tried to hide it by the faded denim clothes she wore, but I knew she'd never been inside a bar before. And I felt like a peasant who just had met a queen, and she knew I saw right through her tight-fitting jeans. Yeah. Well, I asked her, "What's a woman like you doing here? I see you to champagne, but I'll buy you a beer." She said, "You've got me figured out, but I'm not what I seem. And for a dance, I'll tell you about these tight-fitting jeans." She said, "I married money, I'm used to wearing pearls, but I've always dreamed of being just a good old boy's girl. tighter in these tight-fitting jeans.
Yeah.
We dance every dance, and Lord, the beer that we went through, I'm satisfied I did my best to make her dream come true. As she played out her fantasy before my eyes, it seemed a cowgirl came alive inside those tight-fitting jeans. In my mind, she's still a lady, and that's all I'm gonna say. But I knew that I'd been broken by the time we parted ways. And I know I held more woman than most eyes have ever seen. The night I knew the lady wearing them tight-fitting jeans. Well, now she's back in her world, and I'm still stuck in mine. But I know I'll always remember the time a cowboy once held a millionaire's dream. Lord, I love that lady wearing them tight-fitting jeans.
And that is Michael Twitty with his version of Hello, Darling. Yeah, I mistakenly introduced that song as your father singing it, but that's your great version of it.
Yeah, not Hello, Darling, Dave. That's Tight Fitting Jeans. Yeah. I wondered if you knew that, because when you started playing it, I said, well, oh, Dave's got my version on there instead of Dad's. Yeah, that's off of our Three Generations CD, which is kind of a live version of our Members of Conway show. And the reason we call it Three Generations, because it's Dad's music, and it's got me and also my son Trey has a few songs that recorded on there also. We sell it on the road with us, and it's very popular.
It must be great to have your son Trey along with you as well and up there singing on the stage with you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's here again, we get to spend a lot of quality time together, just like my dad and I did. I got to tour with him, and Trey's out there with me. Trey spent 4 years in the United States Air Force, something I'm very proud of. He was in the Honor Guard in the Air Force, but now he's decided to take a shot at a music career, and he travels with me going everywhere we're going. Plus, when he's in town, he's writing and recording on his own, and so I look for good things out of him. I know everywhere we go, especially the younger ladies eat him up everywhere we go. He's a good-looking boy. He looks like a young Elvis, what he looks like, really. Must have got that from his mama, wow. I guess. I didn't got it from me. but he's the young ladies especially eat him up. He's a good boy, very talented. I'm looking for great things from him.
Now, does he have a diverse range of musical styles? Does he lean towards country, rock, or does he have a bit of both in him?
He can do both. In fact, he's working on a kind of a southern rock album thing right now. But he also has some country things he's recorded, like the album with me there. So he's really can do both. He's very diverse. Very diverse artist. He can do both and do both very well.
What would you say, Michael, that you learned most from your father about entertaining, about being on stage?
Just be yourself. I mean, just and put every ounce that you've got of yourself into your music and entertaining the people. Give all of yourself, no matter if you've got 10 people or 10,000 people, doesn't make any difference. If you only got 10 people, you still give every ounce you got. And that's what I do, just the same way he did. And my style of entertaining is a little different than his, because Dad, like I said, Dad didn't talk much. I do. I do quite a bit of talking. I love to hear people laugh, so I do a lot of comedy stuff in my show. I guess I'm more of a – my type of entertaining is just different than his. I just – but I give every ounce of energy and heart and soul that I've got. That's probably the number one thing he taught me, not only through words but through his actions. He taught through example. And so that would be the main thing I carry with me on every show I do.
And there's a website people can check out to connect to more with your father and his music, conwaytwitty.com, to read up and to listen there. And, of course, YouTube and iTunes. I mean, you want to make sure that you've got a lot of Conway Twitty songs in your collection, because there's so many great ones to listen to. And we're going to listen to another one in a few moments now. I apologize, because Sandra sent me Hello, Darling and Tight Fitting Jeans, and I assumed they were the Conway versions. Of course, I've heard them tons of times, but that's what I assumed. So I think when we play Hello Darling in a few moments, it's going to be your version, Michael?
Very well. Probably is. If Saunders, who's my manager, sent it to you, she probably sent you that Three Generations album, which is, here again, me and my son Trey doing, it's kind of a recorded version of our live show. But yeah, it's probably me doing Hello Darling, I would say. That's what it is, Dave.
Excellent. We'll look forward to that in a few moments. So that CD, that can be purchased through michaeltwitty.com?
Right. Absolutely.
Excellent. Very good. Michael, who would you say are some of the underrated talent of either today or of the past, people who you think are just amazing and you enjoy listening to, but maybe just didn't make it to the top or haven't yet?
Oh, I don't know. There's so many great artists. T. Graham Brown, one comes to my mind. I don't hear enough anymore today. T. Graham is a friend of mine, and he's a great, I just love his bluesy voice type thing he has. And I don't think T. Graham ever reached he ever got the full respect that he deserves, because I mean, he just, to me, his voice just blows me away. There's so many. I've always been Tanya Tucker. She and I have been good friends for many forever. Well, since she's about 12 years old, I guess. I don't hear her enough anymore. But a lot of the older artists you don't hear enough anymore.
Yeah,
for several reasons, as you know. And just a lot of, you know, very few of the younger ones really crank my handle, like, so to speak. I'm more of a traditional country fan, you know. So a few of them do, you know. I mean, guys like Alan Jackson I love, you know, I really do. But mostly I enjoy listening to the people that I grew up, you know, here again, your Ronnie Millsaps and Tanya Tuckers and George Joneses and Merle Haggards and Conway Twitties of the world.
Yeah, it's so great that we've got vinyl or tape or CDs, however we listen to those legends, and we can still listen to them, and we can, you know, throw in a DVD or a videotape and still watch their performances. It's so great that we have that.
Yes, it is. I might also, Alison Krauss, too. I really like Alison Krauss. She cranks my handle, too. She's one of the so-called newer type artists that I really like.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. It is fantastic that we have so many. It's just more than just a vinyl record now like it used to be. There's so many things now with YouTube and what have you that we can still have that music forever. You know, that is fantastic. Music and video now. It's great.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Well, Michael, let's share your version now of Hello, Darling. Of course, a huge hit for your father. Tell us about the reaction. I'm sure as soon as the words Hello, Darling come out as you start the song, the crowd must go pretty crazy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Dad actually wrote this song back in 1960, right in the middle of his rock and roll career, when he was selling millions of records in rock and roll in 1960, and he wrote this song. Of course, he didn't record it at the time. It wouldn't have meant nothing if he had it. He put it in an old guitar case, and it kind of got lost for 10 years, and he recorded it in 1970.
Amazing.
Of course, he made the changeover in 65 to country from rock and roll, but he recorded it as kind of an afterthought in 1970. I mean, they'd already recorded everything they'd come to record and had some time left over, and so he put this one down. It's kind of an afterthought, and it's kind of weird how things like that happen. You know, it just happened to, he happened to have it in his pocket. He just found an old guitar case a few days before and just happened to have time to record it that day. And, you know, and now it's one of the best loved country songs ever. It's strange how things like that work sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't that something? Just as you say, an afterthought, and so interesting. It went on to become such a huge hit. Probably his signature song, would you say?
Yeah, definitely one of them. I'd say probably his biggest one, but it definitely goes to show you he might have been a rock and roll singer in 1960, but his heart and soul was definitely still a country singer, because he wrote this song back then. Shows you where his heart and soul really was.
Definitely. Well, let's share it now. This is Michael Twitty and Hello, Darling on In the Country.
Hello, darling. It's been a long time. How's your new love? Are you happy? Hope you're doing fine. Just to know it means so much to me. What's that, darling? How am I doing? I'm doing all right, except I can't sleep. Lord, I cry all night till dawn. What I'm trying to say is I love you and I miss you. And I'm so sorry that I did you wrong.
Country artist Michael Twitty singing a version of his dad's classic Hello Darlin' here on In the Country. Of course, his dad, the late great country legend Conway Twitty, who we all know and love. Michael, it has been such a pleasure sharing this time with you and to hear the stories about your career and stories about your father and, of course, to share the great music. Thank you so much for being on the show.
It's been my pleasure, Dave. I'm always a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm very much looking forward to our next trip end of next month coming up back to Canada way. I always look forward to that. A lot of great Conway Twitty fans up there. Beautiful country you have, and me and everybody in my group just really enjoy it every time we come up.
Thank you so much, and yeah, we're looking forward to having you back in Canada, and again, our listeners can head to michaeltwitty.com to check out your schedule of the shows you'll be playing up in this area, conwaytwitty.com as well, and michaeltwitty.com, both sites to check out. Thanks again, Michael, and we'll talk to you again in the future.
Thank you very much, Dave, and God bless you, and happy Easter to everybody in Canada.
My guest today has been country artist Michael Twitty. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.
Spend some time in the country, we're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country, leave your worries.